So last thing we saw last week. The last thing we saw the other time was that Yosam basically gave a cynical description of what had happened and concluded with a curse. He said, basically, to the people of Shechem and Avimelech, he said, if this is your idea of truly and sincerely repaying Gideon for all the great things he did for the Jewish people, may you have a lot of Hatzlacha. And if not, may a fire come out from Avimelech and eat you. And the other way around, may you both destroy each other. He said to Avimelech and the people of Shechem, who had sided with Avimelech. So now we begin in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf Beis, and this basically describes one of the more tragic episodes of this period. The anarchy that reigned. So let's see. So we're in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chaf Beis. Vayosar Avimelech al Yisrael Shalishonim. Avimelech reigned over the Jewish people for 3 years. He reigned. This is from the term. It's an unusual term is used here to denote his rulership. It says Vayosar, which is from the term srara, his position, meaning it was all just about his prestige. There was no proper rule. On the contrary, throughout this period, we kept on seeing, didn't even say about, nobody was a melech, right? The term we saw is Vayishpoit as Yisrael, Arbaim Shana, etc., etc. He judged the Jewish people. Vayishpoit denotes that he made a point of setting the Jewish people on the right path. There was no such thing going on here. Here it was simply an issue of asserting his power. He held the power of the Jewish people. Should I turn off the air conditioner?
So this is
a continuation of the story. Yeah, so here's a continuation of the story. After he got rid of all his brothers, after he killed them all, he ruled, he held that power over the Jewish people for 3 years. Again, this was tyranny, this was exploitation, this was not a legitimate rule, and therefore this unusual expression is used. Simply an issue of implementing his power. But so here we go. And now the curse is going to come through. Again, who were his accomplices? Who were the ones who backed him in this whole thing? It was the people of Shechem. But then Hashem sent bad winds, meaning it became strife between Avimelech and the people of Shechem. And the people who had initially supported him now, Vayivgidu Baalei Shechem Avimelech. They betrayed Avimelech. Why was this happening? Lavoi Hamas Shivim B'nei Yerubal. Why was this happening? In order to bring about, to bring retribution for the injustice that was done to the 70 sons of Yerubal, Gidoin, V'damam, and their blood, Lasum al Avimelech Achim, to bring it back on the head of Avimelech, their brother, Asher Ho Agoisam, who had killed them, and also to visit retribution on the people of Shechem who had backed him in his campaign to kill all of his brothers. And now the retribution is coming in the form of a fight between the two of them, which was going to end in disaster for both parties. So what happened? The people of Shechem decided that now they want to be free of him. And therefore, they set up ambushers. They had groups of people laying in wait on the different points of the mountain around Shechem for the purpose of keeping him out of the city. But besides that, in order to flaunt the fact that they don't consider themselves bound by his rule anymore, they would rob. They became highwaymen. They would rob anybody who passed by them on the way. This was really a way of defying him, of showing that they didn't consider themselves subject to his rule anymore. Free, anarchy. Vayugad la Avimelech. And this was told to Avimelech. So, Yes, a situation of conflict was developing between Avimelech and the people of Shechem. Tension was rising. Then, this was added to by the following. Vayavoy Gaal ben Eved. Gaal ben Eved. What does ben Eved mean? Rashi says that he was from a different, apparently he was literally the son of a slave. He came from some other nation. Eved, slave. Gaal, the son of the slave. So, this was, again, a low character. We're talking about his, one of the only areas we have a whole episode which is not really describing anybody of value. It's about a bunch of low characters fighting each other. We're continuing the story of Avimelech, right? So Gaal ben Eved Nechav, Gaal ben Eved and his brothers came by Avu b'Shechem, and they came into Shechem. This was also a rebellious fellow, didn't like Avimelech, and he was just the right person at the right time as far as the people of Shechem were concerned. They were already starting to have a spirit of dissension. Apparently they weren't bold enough to actually really get a rebellion going. When this Gaal showed up, the people of Shechem, who are now against Avimelech, put their faith in him. He riled them up. He provided them with a figure leader. Sorry, with a leader figure. And he was basically ready to head the revolution, to head the rebellion against Avimelech. So up till now, the truth is that now he emboldened them, and therefore now this whole tension is going to move a step ahead. Up till now they were nervous, the truth is, right? They already were doing things to show Avimelech that they no longer consider themselves under his rule. But, the Mefarshim say, they were still nervous about it, and therefore they generally kept to the city. They knew that they were in Avimelech's sights at this point. They were scared, while they were trying to be defiant at the same time. They didn't feel comfortable. It was kind of like in a self-imposed siege. They didn't feel comfortable wandering about outside the city. But now that this Gaal showed up and they felt that they had a strong leader, they felt more confident. They went out to the fields and they picked their vineyards. They hadn't done this for a while because they locked themselves in the city. They pressed their wine. And they made parties. And now they already started doing this onto a bit of a louder scale. They came to their place of worship. They ate and drank. And they cursed Avimelech. Now it's already becoming more and more public. Gaal ben Eved. And Gaal ben Eved said, "Mi Avimelech? Who is this Avimelech? What's he worth? Umi Shechem ki na'avdenu. And who are the people of Shechem? Well, who are they, losers? Why should we be serving him? Haloi ben Yerubal, uzvul pekidoi. Okay, fine. So he's the son of Yerubal, and he has zvul, his official. Zvul was the governor who Avimelech had appointed to be in charge in Shechem.
Where are we?
We are in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chavches.
The king of all of Israel?
He had Lamaisa taking control of all of Israel.
But his main capital is in Shechem, and that revolution is kind of taking place. But nobody else in the Abdavish Fatim is getting
involved. So what happened was that he initially had gained this power through the support of the people of Shechem. But then, the way it often works out, as you often see with revolutions, yes, it starts with a small core of people, but then he managed to actually establish his reign all over Eretz Yisrael. Now the people of Shechem were rebelling already, but he didn't need them anymore. Because he had already established a proper reign with an army. Maybe he had mercenaries. I don't think that, by and large, the Jewish people were crazy about him, but he had already managed to impose his power. So now, this Gaal was riling them up. He says, why should we be serving Avimelech? Him to us, Sheikh Hamor Avishchem. Why don't we serve the family of Hamor? Remember Hamor, all the way back, Shechem, back in the time of Yaakov Avinu. There was a fellow named Hamor who was the main man in Shechem. So why don't we serve him? You're looking to be loyal to the leaders of Shechem? There are other leaders. Mandwanav denu anachtu. Why should we be serving this Avimelech? Now Gaal had his own ambitions. We're not talking about anybody righteous here. Again, here it's not, right? There's no tzaddikim here, right? So Gaal, he's got his own ambitions. He said, oh, who would put the people of Shechem in my hands? And this is also a new elections jingle. V'asira es Avimelech. I'll get rid of Avimelech. And he would throw challenges out to Avimelech. Avimelech wasn't there at the time, but he would make these announcements. Some say he said it to Zvul. Zvul was the governor representing Avimelech. Come on, put together an army and come. Let's have a showdown. And Zvul, the official, the governor of the city, on behalf of Avimelech, heard all these things that Gaal ben Evan was saying, and he was angry. Now the truth is that things were not clear cut. All what was going on here was tension in the city. It wasn't like either side had a clear, it wasn't like everybody in Shechem was against Avimelech, and therefore it wasn't like they could just get rid of Zvul. Tension was developing, there were different sides, different people were talking, you know the way it works, right? People started talking, yes, Avimelech, not Avimelech, Gaal, not Gaal. They probably put up signs, right? Mudslinging, right? Bad mouthing the other side. It was a typical elections campaign, which always tends to bring out the best in the involved parties. Or in general, we'll add, you want to keep your character clean, keep away from the whole business. Vote for who you're supposed to vote for, that's very important. But keep away from all the talk, keep your nose clean. Elections is very unhealthy for one's character and spirituality.
Didn't some cities do away with, from cities like Nabrak, do away with elections? Or Tulsan?
Oh, I don't know. I'm proud to say that I'm not well abreast of politics in general. Now, Vayishmaz, okay. Vayishlach Malachim says, Zvul, here's all these challenges. Vayishlach Malachim al Avimelech b'tor malimor. He sent messengers to Avimelech, telling him, "Bitarma." He sent him to. He was in a place called Tarma. Avimelech sent a messenger saying, "Hine Gaal ben Eved ve'echav ba'im Shechema." Look, Gaal ben Eved and his people are coming to Shechem. He nomtzarim esayir alecha, and they're busy inciting the people of the city against you. They are actually creating a rebellion against you in the city. Ve'ata, and therefore he advises him, Kum Laila, come during the night. Ata ve'om asher itach ve'eroiv basode. Come with your people. Avimelech Lamaisa was in a position of power. He had his army. Come with your people and set up camp, ambush in the fields around the city at night. Now, v'haya b'boikah kizreach hashemesh, and then in the morning when the sun shines, tashkim ufashatto aloir, get up and invade the city. Hinehu v'av asherito yotzi melecha, and you'll find the people of the city coming out to you. V'sisa leikasha timtzo yodecha, and you'll do what you need to do. Okay, so what happens? We're moving through this relatively quickly because I want to get through this narrative, because the truth is there isn't much to learn from these characters, but from the story in general we'll get certain perspectives. So Avimelech and all the people that were with him got up laila, middle of the night. They came and they camped out, and they set up four different regiments around Shechem, ambushes surrounding them from all sides. Now, Vayisei Gaal ben Eved. Now, Gaal ben Eved, Lemaisa, was preparing a campaign. The Malbim says that he was actually ready to leave the city. What happened was, it was a little more than the simplistic way we put it down. Gaal ben Eved was actually preparing to go attack Avimelech and Tarma. And this was the information that Zvul secretly sent to him. So he said, make a surprise counterattack before they even manage to attack. He's going to be heading out with an army. They're not even preparing to defend Shechem. He doesn't consider himself under attack. He's going to be heading out with an army to attack you. This is going to put Shechem into a vulnerable situation if you can get the upper hand, if you can get the element of surprise. So therefore, you set up an ambush outside the city. You'll already be waiting for him right at the gates of the city, but he's going to be ready for travel to take you on in Tarma. What's that?
Not sure I understand this.
What happened was as follows. Gaal was actually organizing a proper rebellion against Avimelech. Avimelech wasn't in Shechem. He was in a place called Tarma. Okay? So Gaal was planning on taking an army and going out to attack Avimelech. Now, the battle would be at Tarma, the way Gaal had it worked out.
Gaal ben Ebed.
Gaal ben Ebed, yeah. This would leave Shechem vulnerable. But he wasn't figuring on Shechem being attacked right now. He was planning on making a surprise attack on Avimelech.
I mean, when from the city gate, wouldn't you see the army coming? Or you see the army just outside of you before you open the gates?
So what Zvul was telling Avimelech was, they're going to go out in the morning. You, come, lie in ambush, set up regiments, have them hiding outside the city. They won't even, the people will be caught completely unprepared. They're heading out to go attack you in your place. So nicely, you'll be waiting for them right outside the gates of the city.
Opening the gates without checking who's...
So let's see. So let's see how this played out. So, on the contrary, Avimelech doesn't mind being seen. Let's see. Avimelech was a tough guy at the end of the day. As we've seen earlier, back in the previous chapter, right? The one thing we have to hand him, he was like a bramble. The guy was tough. That was all there was to admire about him. He was tough. He was brazen. And he was apparently brave too. But that was it. It began and ended with that. Like we said, really good. He was a politician. A brazen mechutzav. So now, Vayetzeh Gaal ben Ebed Vayamoid Pesach Sha'ir. So indeed, Gaal ben Ebed got up and he started mobilizing the people at the entrance of the city. He was basically mobilizing his army. This is what was going on. Vayokom Avimelech va'om asher itoy min ha'marav. And exactly then, Avimelech and his people got up and started heading towards the city. Now again, we're not talking about a couple of meters outside the city. We're talking about the surrounding mountains, which were not necessarily mamish clearly visible. It was some distance away. But whatever it is, Gaal saw movement. Right? Vayar Gaal Esahom. Gaal saw the people starting to pour down the mountains. This was completely unexpected. Vayimel Zvul. So he said to Zvul, Hinei Am Yerlin Meoshe Aharim. He said, Zvul, hey, you're the governor here. There are people coming from around the mountains. There's some sort of attack going on. He didn't even realize it was Avimelech. So as far as he was concerned, this wasn't something between him and Zvul, right? Lemaisa, yes, there was tension between him and Zvul, but Zvul is the governor. There's something going on. There are people coming towards Shechem. What's going on here?
Jewish.
What's that? Yeah. All right, presumably. Again, no big tzaddikim here. Don't name any of your kids after the people discussed here in this parasha. This is all the lowlifes. But presumably Jewish. Vayemel of Zvul, and Zvul said, nah, Estela Horim Atoreka Anoshim. The shade is shifting, you're seeing shadows, it's not. Vayesef oid Gaal Idaber. So Gaal spoke up again. He said, no, Vayemel Hine of Yordimim Tabor Aretz. Oh, there's something going on here. There are clearly people coming down from these high mountains. Veroish Echad Bame Derech Eloi Moinanim. And I actually see another whole force coming from the direction of Eloi Moinanim. It was another direction. So Zvul stopped playing stupid. And Zvul said, Vayomer Elav Zvul. Zvul said, exactly. Weren't you challenging the whole time? Weren't you talking tough? And saying, I'm ready to take on Avimelech. Aye Eifoy Picha. Where is your mouth? Ready to put your money where your mouth is? Put your fist where your mouth is. Asher Toyma Mi Avimelech Kin Avdenu. You kept on saying, who's Avimelech? You know, why should we serve him? You want to know who these people are? You're right. The city is being invaded. These are the people that you rejected. Now go fight them. You were waiting for this, weren't you? So, Vayetze Gal, alright, he has no choice now. Right? He's in this whether he likes it or not. Vayetze Gal lifnei Baalei Shechem. So Gal went out leading the people of Shechem. Vayelochem Avimelech. And he battled Avimelech. Vayildefeo Avimelech. But he was no match for Avimelech's forces. Avimelech pursued him. Vayonos Mipanov. And he ran away from him. Vayiplu Chalolim Rabim. Ad Pesach HaShoar. And many people were killed in this chase back to the gates of the city. Basically what happened was Gal, with all of his big talk, he came out, began fighting, and then ran as fast as he could back into the city. And Avimelech was pursuing him. But Lamaisa, what happened was many of Gal's people were killed. Gal made it back into the city safely, and they locked the city, they closed the city. And Avimelech was still hanging around outside. Vayeshav Avimelech Baruma. And Avimelech sat in a nearby place called Aruma. Vaygor Zvul is Gal Vesechav Misheves Mishchem. And Gal Zvul, at this point already, after Gal was disgraced and lost a lot of his standing, kicked him out. Okay. Now, so Zvul managed to kick Gal, the head of the rebels, out of Shechem. But now, again, we're talking Avimelech here. You'd say, okay, fine. Gal is gone. Main troublemaker is gone. Either pursue him, kill him, do whatever you want. But now, try to get things back in shape with Shechem. No. That wasn't Avimelech's style. These people had dared start a rebellion against me. Vayihimi Mocharos. The next day, that's it. The story is finished. Gal attempted a rebellion. He failed. He was kicked out of the city. As far as the people of Shechem are concerned, the parsha is finished. No. Vayihimi Mocharos. The next day, Vayetze Om HaSadeh. People from the town went out to the fields. Vayagidu LaAvimelech. And Avimelech was informed. Vayikach Es Ha'om. So he took his people. Vayechetzoim L'Shloisha Roshim. He divided them into three regiments. Vayeeroyiv BaSadeh. And he laid in ambush in the fields. Vayar. And he waited watching. There, Hinei Ha'om Yotze Min Ha'ir. And as people were coming out of the city, Vayokom Aleihem Vayakim. Avimelech came against them and slayed them. Va'avimelech ve'oroshim asher imon. Avimelech and the regiments that were with him, Pashtu Vayamdu Pesach Shara Ha'ir. They came out, they spread out at the entrance of the city. V'shnei Oroshim Pashtu Al Kol Asher Basodeh Vayakum. They formed a double battle. Avimelech with two of the regiments came and attacked the city. The other two regiments fought the people who were outside of the city, and they smote the people outside of the city. Va'avimelech nilcham ba'ir kol hayom ahu. And Avimelech battled against the city all day. Va'yilkoides ha'ir. He captured the city of Shechem. Ve'so'om asher bo horag. And he slayed everybody in the city. Va'yitoites ha'ir. He completely destroyed the city. Va'yizra'el melech. And he planted it with salt. That was kind of another way of bringing home the complete destruction of the city. Salt is not for the most fertile things. He just completely spread salt all over the city. Aha.
What's the point? What's the need for doing that? Sorry, if you destroyed the entire city, what does it mean to just no? You destroy their vineyards or whatever it is there, but there's no one else to plant them in.
It was a symbolic sort of thing. They would be, the victors often did that in order to completely bring home, accentuate the complete, absolute defeat of the vanquished party.
It's like the bottom of revenge.
Yeah, something like that. Like it says, Tonus Rufus plowed Harabais in order to level it. Right? He had to level it. Wasn't it? The base of victims was destroyed. The people are dead. No, he had to level the mountain. Vayishme'u kol ba'alei migdal Shechem. Now, Lemaiseh, let's just note. So already, half of Yosef's curse was fulfilled. Right? Yosef had given a curse in two directions. When Abimelech had joined with the people of Shechem to wipe out his family, Yosef cursed that a fire should come out from Abimelech and consume the people of Shechem, and a fire should come from the people of Shechem and consume Abimelech. Half the curse was already fulfilled. And he was hiding somewhere. He was far away. He wasn't anywhere around.
Which one was
Yosef? But Yosef was the one son of Gidon. Abimelech had killed all of Gidon's 70 sons except the series of who managed to get away.
And
Yosef
was a good
man? He's a tzaddik? Well, we don't know much information about him, but we have no reason to think there was anything wrong with him. Right.
The fact that his curse came true, maybe.
Right? Quite possibly an indication. So now, Lamaisa, said there were survivors from Shechem. Some of the Mepharshim say that these were actually some of the important people of Shechem who were out of the town at the time. Vayishmu kol ba'alei migdal Shechem. Now Lamaisa, said these people, it was this place that was known as the Tower of Shechem. The people of this tower weren't there at the time. Vayaviu tzriach beis el bris. They knew that now Abimelech is after them, and they gathered together in a tzriach. A tzriach is some of Farshim say that this refers also to a certain tower or fortification that they built, or it was just some area in the woods. They gathered there to try to take stock of their losses and figure out what their next step is going to be. Vayugad la'Avimelech kis kabtzu kol ba'alei migdal Shechem. Now Avimelech heard where they had gathered. Vayal Avimelech ha-Talmoin. And Avimelech came to the mountain of Talmoin, which was in this area, hu v'chol ha'om asher yitoy, him and all the people that were with him. Vayikach Avimelech es ha-Kadumois b'yodoy. And Avimelech took axes, took all told his army to take axes. Vayichroys seichas etzim. And they cut off branches of trees. Vayisrael, this is going to be their weapon. He took as much branches of trees as he could load on his shoulder. And he told the people who were with him, what you saw me do, maru asu kamayni. Quickly, do like I have done. So all the people who were with him each took their branches. And they came after Avimelech. Vayasimu ala tzriach. And they put it all around this tzriach, we'll call it this fortification. They piled it up with branches. And they set the tzriach on fire. All the people who were there were killed. About 1,000 men and women all perished in this fire. Yeah, these were people who were actually residents of Shechem. What's that?
It was maybe a place where they would go to hide, where there's more.
Right. May have been such a fortification. Okay, now, what happened next? Avimelech's not finished his campaign. Vayelech Avimelech Teveitz. Then Avimelech went to besiege Teveitz. It's not clear exactly where this place Teveitz comes in. Some of the Mepharshim suggest that apparently they were also in cahoots with the rebels. Okay, Vayichan b'Teveitz vayokeda. He camped out against Teveitz and he captured Teveitz. And now he's invading Teveitz. Umigdal oiz haya b'seichayir. Then there was a great tower inside the city, again a fortification, a place to hide, a fort. Vayanusu shama kol ha'anoshim v'anoshim v'kol ba'alei ha'ir. And all of the men and women, all the people of the city ran into this tower. Vayisgiru ba'adam, they locked it. Vayalu al gag ha-migdol, and they came up onto the roof. Vayavoy Avimelech ad ha-migdol vayilochem boy. So Avimelech came against the tower and began battling it. Vayigash ad pesach ha-migdol lisorfei ba'esh, and he approached the opening of this tower ready to set it afire.
What is this place Teveitz? What's the relevance to Shechem?
Not so clear. Some of the Mepharshim suggest that perhaps they were in cahoots with the rebels. It's not so clear where they came in here, why he was fighting them now. I believe it's the Rabbag who says that apparently they were part of the Rambag or the Radak, one of the Mefarshim say that apparently they were supporting the rebellion. Okay, so now what happened? So what's going on? All the people of Tevetz are up on the roof of this tower, and they're looking down below as Avimelech is getting ready to set the tower on fire. So one woman took action. Vatashleich isha achas pelach rechev al reish Avimelech. They had millstones. The mills that they used to grind with were a set of two very, very heavy stones. So she took, I don't know how she did this, but she took one of the millstones and cast it off the roof, smashed Avimelech's head, smashed his skull. So he had a few seconds left. He knew he was dying. Vayikom. The strings with, right, but that's not what it is here. It says it's one of the pelach. It's called pelach because it was just a piece of the, it was just a piece of it. It wasn't the whole millstone, but she took a cinder block sort of thing and she heaved it off the roof. That's what's called a pelach, as in pelach harimai, like pelach, a piece of it. Pelach with a ches, not with a chof. So he's dying. So he called quickly to the youth who carried his weapons. He told him, "Shleif char b'chol moisaseini, pull out your sword and slay me." Pen yirbu li isha haragosu. I don't want to go down in history as the guy who was killed by a woman. It was considered a terrible disgrace to be killed by a woman. That's what he's worried about now. That was vidu he forgot about, but this is what was on his mind. So yes, his attendant killed him, and he died. Vayiru ish Yisrael ki beis Avimelech, and the people of Israel saw that Avimelech had died. Vayelchu ishlim koimei, the whole story just kind of dissipated. Everyone went to their place. Vayoshev elekim Yisra'as Avimelech asher osa la'aviv. Hashem visited upon Avimelech all the evil that he had done to his father, la'aroig es shivim echav, that he killed his 70 brothers. And also, all the evil of the people of Shechem, Hashem brought back upon their heads. And indeed, the curse of Yosef ben Yerubal came upon them. This was not a very pleasant story. We don't have any sublime lessons to get out of this story. Yet, it's an important story. The story of anarchy, of lawlessness, of dirty ambition is an important story. Why? Because as we pointed out at the beginning of this story, what's outstanding about this story is its uniqueness. Meaning, it highlights that in the whole period of the Shoftim, this was something that should have been going on all the time. Remember that we're talking about a nation that was not ruled by rulers. There was no central government. The Shoftim was a very informal style of rule which they weren't maintaining control over the people. People came to them, they taught in a general way, but there was no real control of the people. It was basically the people that ran without a government for 400 years. And such an event, that somebody should try to seize the rule, happened only once in that period. And therefore, it's important that it happened, because to bring to our attention, this is something that should have been going on all the time. You hear people say superficially that the period of the Shoftim was a period of a lack of leadership, right? Anarchy, etc. They were backward, they were primitive, and it was only later that, you know, they got the idea of making a king, which is totally ridiculous, because would there be any nation in the world that would go for 400 years without anybody coming along and trying to grab the throne? Things very quickly, the most primitive of nations figure out quickly enough, you have the one guy who figures out that this is an opportunity. They would have to be robots, right? What if it's not to work? On the contrary, this is a sign of the greatness of the Jewish people at that time. The fact that this was so unusual. The fact that, again, there was no army. That a man was able to come, make his own private army, and take control of the Jewish people, shows you the way they were living at that time. There was no army, there was no police, there was no central government. There was no real mechanism of defense. We saw already earlier that when battles came up, they rallied and they put together a volunteer army, ragtag, whoever was ready, whoever was available that afternoon. Right? That was how it worked. So on the contrary, This unpleasant incident highlights what the Jewish people were about for these 400 years. And there's another point also, because here also, you often hear, this is also a point to bring out to the credit of who the Jewish people were at that time. This is basically a story of people who, at bad human nature, were positioned to take advantage of me. Right, and do what they wanted. You often hear people saying, you know, you see, how could a firm person do such and such? Right? A firm person is caught cheating in business. Oh, it becomes a sensation. Right? Makes headlines in all the Israeli newspapers, from the Jerusalem Post to the Idiot Achronot, when some Haredi rabbi is arrested, right? Sensation. Now, do you ever see headlines? Man in Tel Aviv arrested for dishonesty? That never makes the headlines. No, no, no. It's a sensation when it's a Haredi person. And the question always is, how is it that a religious person can do such a thing, right? Is that a mark of disgrace for the whole religious community? So what's the answer? Well, the answer is, on the contrary, these incidents are really what bring out the greatness of the religious community. Why? Because what is the religious community professing to be? I'll put it this way, what is the Torah professing to be? A creator of robots? Torah doesn't program people. The Torah puts you into position to be able to utilize your own free choice to reach the greatest of levels. But on the contrary, it's very not automatic, and that's what makes it so great. That's what makes it so great. It's very not automatic. You want to know, how can a religious person do a despicable thing? It's because a religious person has the same Yetzirah as anybody else. And on the contrary, the question is, why didn't all the other religious people do that? You see that they have the same Yetzirah. You see that they're the same flesh and blood. You see that they're just as susceptible to temptation as anybody else. Why didn't everybody else do it? On the contrary, it's not an automatic process. Nobody's claiming it is. The Torah doesn't automatically create perfect people. When a person chooses to follow the directives of the Torah, when a person chooses, on the contrary, Hashem provides you with instruction that if you apply your bechira to it in an absolute way, you'll become very great. But that's all it is. Hashem is a mechanech. Hashem is a mechanech, and the Torah is a program of chinuch. It isn't more than that. At the end of the day, it's left subject to your bechira. Do you want to apply yourself to it? If not, it's not going to happen. So on the contrary, yes, when you see these things happen, it brings home the point even more. That no, we are people of flesh and blood just like everybody else. And we face temptation just like everybody else. And on the contrary, we choose to utilize the tools that the Torah gives us to rise above everybody else, to reach a situation where, when a well-known from person is caught doing something dishonest, doing something immoral, it becomes a sensation. On the contrary, that is a mark of honor for this community. Community for whom? Any sort of failure is a sensation? It's a mark of honor for that community. Let's realize that. Oh yes. As far as that individual goes, it certainly is a chilul Hashem. When a person is not representing the Torah values right, sure it's a chilul Hashem. But at the same time, we have to realize that our greatness lies in the fact that we could not be great. That we could be quite low, right? And on the contrary, you see here, that sure, throughout the whole period of the Shoftim, when things were quiet, the Jewish people were living according to the Torah, you have to realize how great that was, because on the contrary, the low people, the people who weren't willing to apply themselves in this way, were able to do whatever they wanted. There was nobody stopping them. Look how lawlessness abounded. Look how anarchy abounded when there were people who dropped below the level. And that is all the more of a sign of honor for the millions of people throughout those 400 years who simply lived a life self-governed by the Torah standards. Okay, that'll be that for tonight. Just for that.